today as we come to the table.
If somebody didn't participate, it holds the whole kingdom back. And so, although the application is not quite the same, and I would really make it more of a personal application right now, I would say this. Whatever is in your life that's holding you back, if there's something you know that you need to take care of, deal with it right now. Say, Lord, right now I'm going to deal with my Babylonian garment. I know I've craved it. I know I've wanted it. I'm going to lay that down, and I'm going to trust in you, God, to give me what you want me to have and to bless me, but I'm going to follow you because I want to move forward and have victory in this area that I'm battling. I want to move forward in my walk and have the promised land that God has given me. That's exactly what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel, and that's what God is saying to us.
It's hard to run a race if you're carrying luggage, but that's what we tend to do in life, don't we? We're on a mission for God, running a race, but we have all types of baggage that is hindering our effectiveness. We're letting sin trip us up, or we're holding on to a grudge against a brother or sister in Christ. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will ask the question, what is it that's holding you back today? What sin haven't you surrendered? Or what is drawing your focus away from following God? Don't let those things hold you back. You want to be free to serve God wholeheartedly. So cast off the weight holding you down. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Joshua chapter 7 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
You're going to be stuck where you are, not walking in victory. And let me say this, you're not going to move forward. You'll stay there forever. You'll just live in the wilderness and be useless. Will you be saved? Yep. Will you go to heaven? Yep. But you'll be useless. You have no victory, no power, no advancing for the kingdom because you're choosing to hold on to the accursed thing. If you don't let go of the accursed thing, you're stuck right there. And the Lord will wait. He says, I'll wait as long as you will. He said, unless you get rid of the cursed thing, I'm not giving you victory in this area. And I'm not moving you on with me. You're not moving any farther in the land. But Lord, sorry. Because you need to walk in holiness. You've got to walk in purity. You've got to walk with me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to take the land, you're going to have to walk with me. And so you're not going to be able to move forward. Get up. Sanctify the people and say to them, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot, notice that, not you will not, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come according to households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come accordingly, man by man. Now, imagine Achan at this point. Okay, certainly they're not going to find me out of over 2 million people. Let me tell you something. God knows your family. He knows your mom. He knows your dad. He knows you. He knows where you live. When it's God, that's a good thing. You don't have to be creeped out about that. But you can't hide from God. You can't hide from him. It wasn't like, I got away with that. God doesn't know. God knows. And for his kids, he knows exactly what we're doing. I used to get away with stuff before Christ. I didn't get away with everything. But I got away with some stuff. Now, I can't get away with anything. And it's not that I want to. It's just my flesh deceives me sometimes. And I'll kind of start leaning that way. And it's like, you know, God just steps in. I can share stories, but I won't. But here's the bottom line. If you're God's kid, he's going to call you on things. And he's going to chastise you. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, and I think that applies pretty much to everybody, not just the believer. It's more so to the believer because we're more accountable. But you see all the things that are happening today. Look, all the people that are getting busted today for all the sexual stuff that we're watching happen in the news and all the whatever, this is the fruit of what we did in the 60s as a nation. The sexual revolution, man, be free, man. Everybody do what you want with sex and just go for it. Hey, man, be free. Now we have diseases and all the people that thought they were getting away with stuff, guess what's happening? You're not getting away with it. You got a break, but you're busted and you're exposed and it's affecting your careers, your lives, your families. What does the Bible say? God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Your sin will find you out. And here's the good news for the believer. If you're sitting out there right now going, oh, I've got some things and I don't want anybody to find out. You have an out. You have an out. Ask God to forgive you and repent. If you ask God to forgive you and repent, God says, done deal. Done deal. Lord, you won't tell anybody? Tell anybody what? It's forgiven. I don't see it. It's gone. But if you don't repent, what happens? At some point, Mark, everybody's going to know. So you make the call. You want it to be in front of the whole church or just your family, or do you want nobody to find out? Then come to me and get right. Nobody will know because you stopped. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some things we do as believers that God won't expose or that don't need to be exposed. Maybe there'll be people we need to go to ask forgiveness. So I'm not trying to make it sound like some secret way we can get away with something. I'm not saying God approves of it. I'm saying once we're convicted and we ask forgiveness, God wipes it away. And so it doesn't mean there might not even be consequences. Let's say that one of us, we're guilty of some type of horrible, you know, atrocity or whatever. It might come out and we're forgiven and later on it comes out. There still may be a consequence to pay for that, but we're forgiven before God. The difference in us, if something happens where we get exposed for what we've done in the past, is that we're forgiven. Man may not, but God has. The people now that are being exposed, if they don't know Christ, not only does man not forgive them, but God doesn't either. They get the double whammy. But for the most part, for the believer, I see how God protects. I've seen God protect. I remember one time, and I can share this with you. You know, it's something I was somewhere, and I was on the mission field, and this huge temptation came in on me. I didn't fall, but I started quoting scripture, and I was quoting scripture out loud. I remember I was just going back and forth going, it is written, it is written, because I do that. I mean, if you want to know what's Mark doing, just hide somewhere where I'm praying. But I'm going, it is written, it is written, it is written, and I didn't sin. I fought the temptation off. God gave me victory because I ran to God in prayer and I used scripture and I battled the enemy. And it wasn't because I'm in it, it was God delivered me. But what I didn't know is that somebody else was there recording me because they thought it was funny. They had a tape recorder running outside the room going, listen to Pastor Mark in there. He's saying something. Let's record it. You know how embarrassing it would have been if that recording had been recorded? They said, we recorded you. We recorded you in there. I said, really? Just kind of froze. Let me play it for you. And I'm going, oh. They played it. It was just like, couldn't hear one word. Couldn't hear one word. There's no reason it wasn't recorded. There's one reason. You know why? Because God didn't let it be recorded. You know why? Because he saw that my heart was being real and sincere. And he says, you're not going to embarrass my son. He's not going to be embarrassed. This is a real battle. He's fighting it. I'm giving him the victory. Nobody's going to know about this. That's our God. Now, everybody knows now. But anyway, I say that as an encouragement to you. If you go to God in battle and you fight these things and you let God give you victory, God will protect you. If you're guilty, then God will expose you. So that's how that works. And so God here is now exposing, going to expose this whole thing. And I keep thinking about going to bed that night, thinking aching, going, you know what, I wonder what's going to happen. Is God going to expose this? How is this going to be? You know, man by man is going to come. Look at verse 15. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. Now again, they'll be put to death first. They didn't die by fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Now, you imagine Achan, they're there with 2 million people, and he's going kind of nervous, going, ay, 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 ay. You know, I hadn't confessed it, but I mean, it may be exposed, whatever. And they draw a lot, probably, I don't know if they were drawing lots or they're doing the Urim and the Thummim, you know, the thing they put in the priests. We don't know, it didn't tell us how they did it. But all of a sudden, there's an announcement. The tribe of Judah, step forward, all are free to go. It's like, oh my goodness, that's my tribe. Well, there's still like hundreds of thousands of us, so it's probably pretty good up to this point. Look what happens. Then he brought the clan of Judah and took the family of the Zarites. You gotta be kidding me. I'm a Zarite. So here are all the Zarites going. There's Achan in the middle of the Zarites. Our best is clearing out. And he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Okay, great. We're getting right into my family here. And then he brought his household man by man. Of course, Zabdi was, there's Achan in Zabdi's family. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. Again, God knows exactly where we are and what we're doing. We're not hiding anything from him. Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. See, he didn't even know at this point what he'd done. Tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua. He knows he's busted now, so he's just going to pour everything out. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. Now, again, this is good that he's confessing, but wouldn't it have been a lot better if he'd confessed it before he got caught? Right? When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Cookie, there it is. I hid it in my tent. I've got all these things. There's the beautiful Babylonian garment, all the gold, whatever. You know what? Achan, if you'd have just waited, you could have had your own Babylonian garment shop. But you just couldn't wait. You had to disobey God and do it your way. And so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and they laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge, the gold, his sons and his daughters. Now, again, why did he do this? Because they were part with him. The Bible says you're not to put to death the children for the father's sins, and Moses had just taught them that. So they weren't breaking the word of God. What this shows us is his kids were in on it. Guys, look at this. Ooh, okay, keep it quiet. His oxen, his donkeys, his sheep that were in his tent, even they were in on it. I'm just kidding. But they had to suffer the consequences as well. And all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? Again, interesting. His name is trouble. Why have you Achaned us? Would be a way to say that. Because that's his name. What is what it meant? Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and after they'd stoned them with stones. And they raised over them a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of this place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Chapter 8, we'll do this quick, and we'll stop in the middle if we don't make it. Don't worry, but it's too early to stop. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. So look, he had to re-encourage him. This really set you guys back, but don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I haven't left you. I'm going to continue to give you victory now that you've done the right thing. You've cleared out the sin that's in the camp, so to speak. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai. And notice past tense, already done it. His people, his city, and all his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty or reward for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind you. Again, here it is. If he had just waited. See, here comes the reward now. Achan just missed it because he wasn't able to wait for God. You know, again, this is pretty obvious. Let me just say it again, especially for young people, and really all of us. Do it God's way. You know, if you relationships and all that stuff, the world is, yeah, everybody just hop in bed together and don't worry about it. And I even hear the thing, well, we have to sleep together before if we know we're compatible. Nonsense. God knows what he's doing when he created us. Wait. Don't be aching. Wait on God and be blessed. Go into your marriage disease-free. Go into your marriage trouble-free. And if you've already done it, then just get right with God and stop now. So it can be right. Again, there's other things that can apply to, but that one's so obvious. I just want to mention it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them by the way at night. So this time, rather than 2,000 or 3,000, he hears God's command. God says, send 30,000, and we're going to do an ambush. So it's always better to listen to God. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. And then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come against us, as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out against after us till we have drawn them away from the city. And they'll say, they're fleeing before us, as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. So they're going to pretend they're running. You know, we're running. Oh, you're getting us, right? Then you shall arise from the ambush. So these other guys will jump up now as they're running away, and they'll start overwhelming the Ai's. Seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you've taken the city. Look at the confidence. Look at this. He prayed. He got right with God. And it's not, you shall do this if you take the city. No, when you take the city. When God gives you the victory of the battle you're in, here's what you're to do. You shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I've commanded you. So Josh, now he knows he's got God's command. And when you know what God's saying, I know that I'm there. If I know what God's saying, man, there's nothing can stop you. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up in the morning and mustered the people, went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai, and all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came to the city and camped on the north side of Ai, and a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men, set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city, and when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and rose early, and they went against Israel to battle. He and all the people at an appointed place before the plain, but he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if it were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua, and they were drawn away from the city. This is what you want to do. Get them away from the city, then you can go in behind them, burn the city, and then destroy them because they're trapped out in the field. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel, so they all came out chasing him who did not go after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel, thinking they had the victory, in other words. And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out your spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city, and those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. They entered the city and took it, hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people who fled to the wilderness turned back on their pursuers. They lost heart. Our city's on fire. We have nowhere to flee to. We have nowhere to run that we're surrounded. So they kind of just gave up. God put them in a place where they were just defeated. Now, by the way, the people of Bethel and Ai and Jericho, don't think that God just went in and took a bunch of nice people and told the children of Israel to kill them all. These are all people that have been warned of God, that were living in sin, and now we're facing God's judgment. God simply used the children of Israel to carry the judgment out. And I think sometimes if you don't know that, people think, well, God just sent the children of Israel in to wipe everyone out. No, these were people that were ripe for judgment, and God was using the children of Israel to judge them because they hadn't repented. So that's what's happening. And when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they struck them down, and they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. So here's the big face-to-face. And it came to pass, when Israel made an end of the slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all of Israel returned to Ai, struck it with the edge of the sword, so that it was that all who fled that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. And God said that, go destroy, utterly destroy everyone. So he was obeying God. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city that Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. And Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. King of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. Why? Because the Bible says that those hanging on a tree are cursed. So this was a sign of this king being cursed. As soon as the sun went down, Joshua commanded that they should take the corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remain to this day. And Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel there in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written, no doubt part of the Ten Commandments there. And all Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded that they should bless the people of Israel. Remember, Moses said, when you go in the land, have certain tribes stand on Mount Gerizim, certain tribes stand on Mount Ebal and pronounce curses and blessings. So that's what they're doing. And look at this, as we finish chapter 8, look what it says here. And afterward, he, that is Joshua, read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that were written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel with the women, the little ones, the strangers who were living among them. The first five books of the Bible, the whole Pentateuch, he read every bit of it to them. Now, I don't know if he did it at one time or not, But he read the whole thing to them. And again, just recapping the word of God. And Joshua could say, just like Paul, I have not shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God's word. And so how great it is to see those servants of the Lord who teach all of God's word in its entirety. It was a little bit easier for Joshua in that day. But Joshua was a line-by-line, verse-by-verse guy. And he shared every word, every drop with the people so they knew how to respond. I love it. So a lot of territory covered, guys. I guess the main focus, I know the Holy Spirit has spoken a lot of things to us, but that would be this. Don't let any accursed thing keep you from moving forward in the Lord. And let me just say this. If we are living in a way that is accursed, even Calvary Chapel, it slows us down some. Now, God won't make the whole church stop and not move forward if one person is living in sin. This is not what that's about. This was something God was doing nationally at that moment. He doesn't do that in individual churches in the sense of shutting a church down where they can't move forward. Otherwise, no church would ever do any ministry, because I guarantee you, in every church, there are people that are behind the scenes living in sin. But here's the point. If we're not being fully obedient, those of us that are not obeying the word of the Lord, we are slowing things down. Think what more God could do if we were obedient. Just think about it. I think about, and because it was brought up tonight, I think about the tithe alone. Think about the tithe alone. If everybody at Calvary Chapel tithe, what more could God do through the ministry of Calvary Chapel Knoxville? What's being held back? Because there are some that are not walking in the obedience set. Now, again, that's not my point. That's not what the teaching is about. But again, that's the whole principle of with Jericho. He said, give the first fruits to me, then I'll give you the land and I'll bless you. But if somebody doesn't participate, it holds the whole kingdom back. And so, although the application is not quite the same, and I would really make it more of a personal application right now, I would say this. Whatever is in your life that's holding you back, if there's something you know that you need to take care of, deal with it right now. Say, Lord, right now I'm going to deal with my Babylonian garment. I know I've craved it. I know I've wanted it. I'm going to lay that down, and I'm going to trust in you, God, to give me what you want me to have and to bless me, but I'm going to follow you because I want to move forward and have victory in this area that I'm battling. I want to move forward in my walk and have the promised land that God has given me. That's exactly what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel, and that's what God is saying to us. So why don't we pray and ask God to help us do that? Let's pray. Father, I just pray, God, that you'd help us. If there's anything, any accursed thing that's holding us back from walking in the way you want us to walk, whatever that is, that we would deal with it right now. As you bring it to our mind, as you bring it to our heart, God, deal with it. Let us do away with it so that we can walk in victory, that we cannot be stuck being defeated by whatever this is that's defeating us over and over and over. No more defeats at AI. But Lord, that we could walk on in victory, and that we could not only have victory over this area, but move on in the land that you promised, that promised land of freedom in Christ. But first, we have to lay down the accursed thing. So God, whatever that means for us, help us to do it. And God, help us to walk with you and to be obedient. I thank you that you've gone before us in the good works, and all we have to do is walk in obedience. And if we walk in obedience, Lord, it's all past tense. The battle's won. The victory's won. Let us learn to walk in that. And I thank you, God, for the ministry of your Spirit and the encouragement of your word to our heart. We thank you, Lord. And again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Joshua here on Come to the Table. This book is home to the well-known story of the walls of Jericho and Rahab the harlot. But what may be less well-known is the Israelites' failure to obey God and completely possess the land promised to them. You see, some Israelites never fully enjoyed the blessing of God's promise because of sin in their lives. It can be the same with us, can't it? Whether it's disobedience, persuasion of worldly things, or a lack of faith, we miss out on God's blessing sometimes. But there's still good news for us. God's character, his faithfulness and promises never change. They're still there, just waiting for us to trust and hold on to. If today's message had an impact on you, would you let us know by visiting our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net? This is a good way for us to gauge how we can better serve you, our listeners. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about.
And if you can find yourself traveling through,
staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net.
Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Unfortunately, our time must come to an end, but we want to say thank you for listening today. Pastor Mark has more in Joshua on the next edition of Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.